This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL, presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. More information, visit prescription-center.com. And this segment of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices NH Addiction Recovery Services. Riverbend wants you to know the treatment works. More information, check out riverbendcmhc.org. This show is going to be pretty much all about the Boston Red Sox as we say goodbye to the 2019 baseball season, a disappointing one for the Red Sox, in which they could not even make the postseason in defending their World Series championship. We'll go in-depth on that with interviews from inside the Red Sox clubhouse in just a little bit, but want to start with the Patriots, as the Patriots were able to scratch and claw and find their way to a victory, which was earned by special teams, really the defense as well, as they beat the Bills 16-10 in Buffalo to improve to 4-0 on the season. Let's hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Obviously, the Bills are a good football team, played very well, got a lot of great players, well coached, tough, but you know, our guys just stood up, made a few more plays, and really competed for 60 minutes.
Tom Brady did not have a great day. He was held to just 154 passing yards and threw an interception. The Bills' defense looked great, and they looked like a formidable football team, but quarterback position seemed to be extremely deficient. Josh Allen was really ineffective throughout the course of the contest. He had to leave after a helmet-to-helmet hit. Matt Barkley stepped in for him, but not enough for the Buffalo Bills, who fell to the Patriots. Here's Brady.
Whether we win 45-40 or 45-3 or whatever it was, say 16-10, they all count the same. We're just going to have to figure out how to do a better job on offense. Defense is, I know they're going to play great. They've been playing great all season long, and try to score more points than we did today.
This is the Press Pass here on KXL. This segment of the show brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and the program tonight presented by the Prescription Center. Up next, in-depth on a Boston Red Sox season that left a lot to be desired. They finished the season with a walk-off win as Mookie Betts scampered home on Sunday to improve the team to 84-78. The Press Pass returns after this. This is the Press Pass here on KXL tonight, brought to you by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. The segment of the show brought to you by Douglas Leonard and Garvey. If you've been injured, the most important decision you're going to make is who your lawyer is going to be. I encourage you to check out Douglas Leonard and Garvey at nhlawoffice.com. Red Sox finished the season a disappointing 84-78, well outside of the playoff picture, and will look to regroup going into next season. There's a lot of questions about what could happen with the Boston Red Sox, who will be back, who won't be back, and what the future is for Mookie Betts. And it was a season in which, obviously, the Red Sox did not meet expectations, and there was also kind of always a knowing factor that you have all of these high-level, very talented young players who came up together. You know, are they going to be able to pay everybody, particularly if they all pan out as expected? And we're at a point in time now, this year into next, where the Red Sox are going to have to start making decisions about Rafael Devers. They already made a decision about Xander Bogaerts, and it's complicated by the fact that they signed Chris Sale and David Price to huge contracts. They also have J.D. Martinez deciding whether he's going to opt in or opt out with the Red Sox, and that's $21 million per year for next year, and then he has additional opt-ins or opt-outs for 2 years after that. So the Red Sox money is tied up. So you think about Benintendi, you think about Mookie Betts, and Devers as well down the road, and you wonder what exactly is going to be the Red Sox plan in regards to signing these players. Mookie Betts, has been a lot of discussion about whether or not he is going to be traded this offseason, which is unfathomable. I mean, this is a franchise player. This is the type of player that you would really do anything to get, a cornerstone player. And the Red Sox are considering trading him, bringing in prospects, because they don't think they'll be able to sign him long-term. Now, Sam Kennedy, the president of the team, said something a little different about that today at the season-ending press conference and said they are going to and would like to keep Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and they have ways they could figure out how to do that. Anyhow, here's Mookie Betts after winning the final game of the year on a scamper home. He was on first base. Rafael Devers, a base hit to right field. The Orioles were indecisive getting the ball back in, and Betts ended up scoring. Here he is with Dan Roach.
It was kind of disappointing, but there's a lot of good things that kind of happened throughout the season to be proud of. And this is a great group of guys, and probably one of the best teams I've been a part of as far as having fun and enjoying the game.
Is that the tough part, that they're not all going to be back?
I mean, yeah, it is. But that's the side of it. But they develop relationships with guys, and when you see them, you go eat and hang out, and they still communicate. It's not like they all fell off the face of the earth.
You know this business now, and you hear things, the ownership cutting payroll next year and everything else. You thought about the possibility when you stepped up to the plate it might be your last at bat in a Red Sox uniform?
No. I was thinking about just winning the game at that point. That's out of my hands. That's and my representation to take care of that type of stuff, so I don't worry about it.
Head up to talk with Xander Bogaerts after what was Bogey's best year in the big leagues, 33 home runs, 309 for batting average, 117 RBI, 110 in runs. He's going to be in the top, I would say, three or four in MVP voting this season. It was, without question, Bogey's best year in the big leagues, and I talked with him about not just the fact that he had a great year, but this was a guy who folks questioned whether he would ever be a power hitter. The best year for Bogaerts in terms of batting average came back in 2015. He hit 7 home runs that year and had 81 RBI, and the question really was, would he ever be a power hitter? Well, this year he hit 33 home runs and drove in 117 and had a phenomenal all-around season.
What it was like for everything to come together for you this year and have the type of season that you had. There were questions early in your career about whether you could hit the ball for power on a consistent basis. You did that, drove in RBIs, and seeing it all come together for you.
As I said, I'm happy personally how it went. As a team, we went through a rough stretch, and obviously we could have done a better job, but I mean, we tried, man. We tried, but it didn't work out.
For you, when you look back at the season, what do you think did not allow for the team to take off and have that winning streak? Was it the 8-game losing streak to the Rays and the Yankees that kind of sunk you guys? What was it?
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the games here.
Yeah.
We came here. I think we beat the Twins the first, and then we lost against the last ones against the Twins, and then the Yankees came in. Then the Blue Jays, we lost two.
Yeah.
That was a rough stretch, and especially knowing that we had a chance, there was always hope. Mm. Obviously, our record wasn't the best, but there was always hope, and knowing that if we had played better to our capabilities, there was still a chance. Hope and chance is something that we always had. It just, for some reason or not, we couldn't seem to put it together. Maybe the big hit that we needed, and obviously our pitching went down. Mm-hmm. That kind of hurt us a little bit when you lose a couple of aces, so. Next year should be much better. Yeah.
Playing here at Fenway, as you referenced, that really seemed to be the big factor. Ending up 7 games under 500 here, where this team's usually 10 to 15 games to the good.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't have an answer for that one. Personally, I love playing here. I do better here than on the road. But for some reason, I think we were the team that everyone wanted to play. And then whenever they played us, they showed up with an extra swag and just an extra notch to just go at us, and they did, and more times than not they did it best.
As one of the leaders of this group heading into the offseason, how do you feel about the uncertainty, given the fact that you just won a World Series last year, that we don't know what's going to happen with JD, we don't know what's going to happen with Mookie, there's other free agents. Are you surprised, and how do you feel as a guy who's just committed, obviously, long term, about the trajectory of the team?
As I said, I don't have no input on that. I would obviously love for all of them to stay, but I don't think that's something that's going to be possible. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, those are some talented guys that were big pieces to this team, and obviously we're helping out all the other guys. So losing those guys would be tough. And
we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen because we don't know.
Final thing, Mookie and Jackie have always talked about how they saw things from a business perspective and understood that side of it. Did you have a feeling that at some point in time a breakup was going to come just because of the fact that you have this talented group and there's the money? No,
I never thought of it that way. You don't want to think too much on the negative, so I never thought of it that way. Those are guys that I came up with. Like Benny, I didn't play with him in the minors, but I know of him coming up as a top prospect. So those are guys that either you played with or you know of, because obviously our prospects are so talked about, and guys that obviously we enjoy playing with up here, and hopefully we can maintain them all, but we don't know what's going to happen.
And that's a huge part of this group too, right, that you guys have been together for so long. And you're talking earlier with the group about Mookie and his kindness and the way that he is, in a lot of ways, not necessarily the leader of the group, but he's certainly one of the driving forces of this team outside of what we see in the baseball field.
I mean, he's an MVP,
yeah.
Obviously, number-wise and even as a person. He's just MVP, man. And obviously, you hear a lot saying about guys that are great players and even better persons, and he's one of them, man. And the ability that he has on the field, I mean, he can do anything pretty much. And off the field, his presence alone is what can just make you feel better as a person, and that's something that we love and we appreciate of him.
Another individual who had a great breakout season was Christian Vasquez, and he was a player that everybody looked at and said, this is a solid defensive catcher, a guy with an incredible arm, but will he ever hit? I mean, will he hit anything above 220 or 230? And Christian Vasquez hit 276 this year, drove in 72, and he hit 23 homers for the Boston Red Sox. I talked with Christian Vasquez about his breakout season at the age of 28.
Talk about what it was like for you to see everything come together for you this year and have your best season in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's fun to do this year and, you know, keep working hard and do it again.
Felt like you were building upon last year, obviously, in the postseason, and that this is something that's sustained. It's not a career or anything of that nature. Do you feel like you've found, you know, yourself to the point of which where this is what we're going to see from you in a year and year out basis?
Yeah, I think, you know, this, if, you know, I found, you know, that click that I need to be one of the best catchers in the big leagues, and it's going to be fun to keep going like this and contributed something to the team.
How challenging was the pitching staff side of things this year, where things just didn't go the way the guys wanted? Obviously, injuries and health was a factor. How much did that weigh on you while you're having this incredible offensive year? You pride yourself on what the pitching staff is doing.
It was tough. It was a tough year for the pitching staff. You know, a lot of hurt, a lot of injuries, and, you know, but, you know, we can, you know, take Eddie and Porcello, that they pitch all year, you know, healthy, and they pitch all the starts, so, you know, they don't miss one start. So it was fun to watch them and how they compete.
I don't think, you know, going into this offseason, there's a lot of questions about what's going to take place in terms of contracts, who's going to be back, who's not going to be back. How do you look at that and wonder and hope and kind of play the game along with, you know, management as to what's going to take place?
You know, we don't control that. So, you know, I know that we have a great special team here. You know, Mitch, free agent, Porcello, free agent, you know, Brock is a free agent. So, if they don't sign here, you know, we're going to miss them. You know, they're great teammates, great players. You know, they help a lot to us and to win our series here. And you know, it's going to be tough.
Christian Vasquez right there. Red Sox have a lot of decisions to make about popular veteran players within the clubhouse. One of those individuals is Mitch Moreland, who came on late in the season after struggling with injury this year. He was once again pretty reliable for the Red Sox, a left-hand bat, a former Gold Glove winning first baseman. He finished the season with 19 home runs, 58 RBIs, and a .251 batting average. This was his third year in Boston, and he is a reliable power guy, and anywhere between 15 and 22 home runs during those three seasons in Boston. And here is Mitch Moreland about what the future holds.
I can't really speak on that a whole lot. Like you said, that's part of the business. But I just try to play first. You know, I don't look too much into that. I had a blast while I was here, and all these guys. You know, obviously there might not be the same group here, but there still could be. You can't ever tell what's going to happen. So until that happens, I can't really speak on it a whole lot. I just know that during my time here, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, certainly one of the saddest parts about the season ending is saying goodbye and seeing the players say goodbye to one another. Think about a guy like Brock Holt, who's been with the Red Sox since 2013 and has really ingratiated himself to the community, works very closely with the Jimmy Fund, and of course was one of the key contributors for the Red Sox team last year. A guy who consistently gets on base for his career as an OBP of 340, and just one of those really great baseball players. Holt, though, now is 31 years of age. He's had some injury issues, and the Red Sox may be looking to move on from Holt as he becomes an unrestricted free agent.
Just talk about what today was like for you, knowing that this may be the future's uncertain, and seeing the guys here for the last time, saying goodbye, and what this town has meant to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bittersweet. Obviously, not the season that we wanted to have, and like you said, we don't know what's going to happen with me. But I mean, nothing but good memories here. I love everyone that I've been able to play with, the staffs that I've been fortunate enough to be, to play for, training staff, strength staff. I mean, everyone, people, from top to bottom. It's a, top-notch organization. I'm lucky to have, spent the last 7 years here.
Getting out there on the field before the game, was there a feeling of, trying to take things in, thinking it may be the end, or how do you kind of reconcile that as a player?
Yeah, I try not to think about it. We have one more game, just trying to go out and enjoy it. Look around and take it all in. If it is the last time, I'm in a Red Sox uniform here, then I wanted it to be a positive, mm-hmm. a positive day, good day, and it was. So I'm thankful for my time here, and it's been unbelievable. So we'll see what happens.
Well, the relationships you've had here with these guys, and is that the biggest thing? You think about the championship, the great moments that you've had, but is the relationships the biggest thing for you?
Absolutely. Obviously. Everyone that I played with, we've had a lot of really good guys. Very fortunate to be a part of the teams that I've been a part of, and I'll have these guys as friends for the rest of our lives. So, you take away the good teams and the World Series and all that stuff, but the relationships you're able to build. We spend a lot of time, with each other, and built a lot of really, really strong, good relationships that will last a lifetime, and that's what it's all about.
All right, Brock Holt right there. Nathan Eovaldi, a guy who's looking to have a better year in 2020, a healthier year. He came on a little bit better as of late after he rejoined the rotation, but still wasn't as consistent as he would have liked. He was one of the heroes of the Red Sox World Series championship and was rewarded with a big contract by the Red Sox, $15 million per year for four seasons. So he's certainly coming back, and the Red Sox hope he is more effective. Here's my conversation with Nathan Eovaldi.
Just how would you categorize the season for you overall, and how that fits in with the narrative of this team?
For me, it was inconsistent and frustrating. Dealing with my injuries and just not being able to stay consistent. I think that's the most frustrating part of it. I felt like there were times, where I was building and building, but mm-hmm. again, it's, I felt like one bad inning, which separated the game, and, coming in, looking into next year already, it's, I want to focus on the cutter, the splitter. I think those two pitches are going to be the biggest ones to help me get where I want to be next year, and, go deep into games and just kind of have a quicker rhythm and pace.
It seemed like Friday was kind of Friday start was kind of symbolic of what we've seen from you, where you get a peak of dominance, and then there's that, as you mentioned, that one batter or that one inning where things don't work. Is that pitch sequence? Is it execution? What do you see as being what the issue is?
I definitely think it's execution. You know, I feel like getting, you can get somebody out with any pitch as long as you locate it the right way. You know, I try not to ever second guess myself on the pitch. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just the location. So, you know, I think that's just kind of how my career's been. You know, I get guys 0-2, fine, and then it's just putting them away. You know, I either leave the pitch down the middle or, you know, or I miss. You know, I got to do a better job of executing those pitches. I feel like again, those situations, and I'm just trying to do too much as opposed to just kind of like relaxing, sitting back, and just keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I get to that point, no problem, and it's just like I said, I don't execute it.
You talked a lot in the postseason about how those moments in the postseason, the adrenaline and all that, really met you, and you were able to find yourself and the emotion there. Is that an issue at times during the regular season where you perhaps don't have that killer instinct, where in the postseason you're like, I'm going all in?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to do a better job of that. Like you said, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to create that adrenaline like you get in the postseason. You know, the fans are into it. You know, it's a kind of do or die situations as opposed to the regular season. You know, you're working to get to that point. But I got to do a better job of, you know, kind of everything all in all. Really focusing on not just trying not to give up any hits ever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just almost have that mentality of coming out of the bullpen and just trying to get three outs as fast as possible.
Do you find yourself worrying about, you know, pitch count at times, or particularly in these situations where you've been limited early on, even ramping up a little bit? Is that a concern at all?
No, not really. I mean, there are times, you know, I look back at it and I'm like, how many pitches am I at?
Right.
But you know, I try not to think of the pitch count. You know, just go out there and attack, because I really feel like that if you can have fast innings and get the guys back into the dugout, they're going to produce in the lineup. You know, and they're going to, you know, score runs, and you're also putting that pitcher back out there on the mound faster. And, you know, he might not have a lot of rest time in between innings, and you know, whether it's fatigue faster or, you know, not locate as well. I feel like if I can get the guys back in the dugout, we're going to produce runs faster.
Health-wise, how are you feeling here at the end of the year? Everything's looked good. Your velocity's been, you know, where you want it to be. You've gotten good break on your pitches. Do you feel good going to the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good. You know, it's a little frustrating that the season's ending now just because the way I've been feeling. You know, I missed that a good amount of time earlier in the season, and I still feel like I'm building and, you know, kind of getting more into sync with all of my pitches and just the routine out there on the mound. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's a little frustrating that the season's ending now, and it kind of is what it is.
Is there any way for you to continue that into, you know, the postseason? Obviously, you're not going to throw that much, but no. Your workouts are legendary, according to Alex Cora. How do you keep this feeling going into the postseason so that you are off season, so that you have that coming into next year?
Yeah, I mean, probably take like a week off, if that, and then I'll start, you know, getting into my routines, my workouts, and everything like that. And you know, last year it's different. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I've never experienced going that deep in the postseason, winning a World Series, anything like that. So, you know, coming into spring training was different, I think, for everybody. So, you know, this year will kind of be back to normal. And, you know, take our time off, and then just get into my normal workouts and routines, and, you know, be ready to come into spring training strong.
You're listening to the Press Pass here on KXL. This is the Pure Baseball segment brought to you tonight by Douglas Leonard at Garvey. The show presented by the Prescription Center. Final interview here in this segment will be with Michael Chavis, who's one of the real bright spots for the Red Sox this season. He was not expected to really be a part of this team, but with the injuries to Mitch Moreland as well as Steve Pierce, Michael Chavis was called upon to step up. And also the Red Sox had Dustin Pedroia in their plans as well. The injuries provided opportunity, as it often does in sports, and Chavis finished with 18 home runs. He hit .254 and drove in 58 in a season which he only played in 95 games for the Red Sox. He may be their future at first base, and I talked with Chavis about that.
Just reflections for you on a breakout season and then what this was like for you throughout the course of the year, what you learned and what you're hoping to do moving forward.
Everything that was accomplished and everything that I've learned, obviously, it didn't end the way that I hoped, but just having been in this position and having learned and been around these guys as much as I have, I think it kind of just sets a precedent for what I need to do. Like, I mean, I watched Mookie, Jackie, and all these guys, just how they worked and how hard they played, even in this last game. I think that says a lot about not just them as players and as people, but how how things are ran up here. And it kind of just gives me an idea of what to work with and work towards in the offseason.
What did you learn about being a professional and also the adversity and what it's like to play in Boston, where there's the scrutiny and each of these guys expects a lot of themselves and also the fans expect a lot from them as well? And as you come into next season, there's going to be expectations, obviously, that are different from a fan perspective than what you experienced this year.
One of the biggest things is just how much winning matters. Not to say winning doesn't matter in the minors, but just it's a much bigger scale. In the minors, everything's progress, becoming a better player and everything like that. And honestly, winning is more so secondary. So up here, you don't perform, you're not going to play. If you're not winning, something has to be changed. So, I mean, everything is, I mean, from the staff within the clubhouse to the front office to the fans, it's about winning. That's why we're here. So it's cool to be able to see the differences and just be part of just such a group like this coming off of the World Series. I mean, obviously, didn't end the way that we wanted to, but having seen how these guys go about it was huge.
What do you think needs to improve for you next year? You're obviously learning a new position, second base, really well there, first base. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion about pitch selection. What do you think needs to improve? What are you looking to do going into next season?
A lot of it's mental and just the everyday aspect of it. There's so much that I did learn, and there was so much that I was, a lot of it was just trial and error. Like, there was so much stuff that was going on up here in regards to like scouting reports, other teams having scouting reports on us. It was something that I didn't really know anything about. So a lot of this was kind of learning while I was doing it. So next year it's going to be a little bit different, and I have an idea of what it's like with, in that aspect, with the scouting reports and how to handle it. And I won't have as much of like a information overload kind of. And I think just slowing the game down and being in the moment, I think that'll help a lot.
Do you go into next year having earned a spot in your view, or are you still coming back, scrapping, obviously not knowing what the things are going to look like in terms of contracts, who's going to be brought in, who's going to leave? Obviously, there's an expectation that Mitch and Steve Pierce may leave, and there's going to be opportunity for you. Do you go into next year thinking that that opportunity is there?
I don't really worry about that kind of stuff, whether I think they're going to be back or I think I'm going to be a bench player or whatever. It doesn't really change how the way I'm going to approach my offseason or how I'm going to approach every day once I'm playing. Hopefully the way that I play reflected it, but like I like to win. I'll play hard every single day. That's what I do. So, I mean, whether I'm starting or I'm scrapping just to get in that bat here and there, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be the same.
This is the Press Box here on KXL. More of our Pure Baseball coverage when we return. Rick Porcello, another really strong player for the Boston Red Sox who looks to be moving on, will join us up next. Also, Steve Pearson, whether he's going to retire. And we'll talk with Tim Hyers about the Red Sox very productive season at the plate. This is the Press Box on KXL. This is the Press Pass here on KXL 189, 1450, and NHTalkRadio.com, presented tonight by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Loudoun Country Club. Closer than you think, book a tee time by going to Loudoun Country Club at LoudounCC.com. We continue with the postmortem of a Red Sox season that was disappointing. The team finishing 84-78, well outside of the wild card. And there are a lot of decisions that need to be made. Rick Porcello is one of those decisions, individual who was a huge part of the Red Sox winning the World Series last year and won the Cy Young in 2017, but has been inconsistent with the Red Sox. Had a really good year last year and a really poor year this year, and also struggled in 2016 for Porcello this year, a 5.52 ERA. He was 14-12. For his career, he is 149-118 with a 4.36 ERA. First came to Boston in 2015 and had a difficult year that year, then won the Cy Young. I misspoke earlier, in 2016 when he was 22-4 with a 3.12, 4.65 ERA for him in 2017. 17-7 last year, but a 4.28 ERA. So for Porcello, he has been a guy who's given them innings, given them a chance to win. He's a good guy to have around the pitching staff, but one who is coming off of a contract where he was handsomely paid and is going to be looking to receive decent compensation once again. He made $21.125 million this year. So I don't think he's going to see that type of money moving forward, but he may be and is likely moving on from the Boston Red Sox. So we talked about what has been a difficult season for Porcello.
As you've been kind of reflecting over the last couple of days, what's that process been like for you? There's no start down the road. You're starting to think about the offseason, your time in Boston. What's that been like?
Keep moving forward and look forward to whatever opportunities are going to be in the future. And that's kind of it. It's been a long season and a tough one. Kind of just right now it's disappointing that we're not going to the postseason and you're looking forward to just kind of resetting your resetting your body, resetting your mind, and getting into the off season and turning the page to get back next year and, you know, accomplish that goals that you want to win.
Is the mindset and priority to kind of find a way to come back here or find the best opportunity?
Focus on my preparation and whatever opportunities are presented my way. Obviously, I'll take a look at those with, you know, my team and my corner, and we'll come up with a game plan as far as, you know, what's kind of being given and make the best decision possible. But, you know, all that stuff is going to pretty much take care of itself. The part that I'm looking forward to is getting back to, you know, throwing the baseball the way I know how and being an effective pitcher again. And that starts with, you know, good off season and taking care of the things I need to take care of.
What do you go about categorizing the experience? Winning World Series, Cy Young.
It's been a great ride here. It's a fantastic organization. It's a great city to be a Major League Baseball player in, and you know, it's been an honor to put on that Red Sox uniform every day for the last 5 years. One of the best parts for me has been the guys in this clubhouse. It's been, especially the last 2 or 3 years, it's been a really great group of guys and a lot of fun going to battle with them every day on the baseball field. Those are the memories with these guys in this clubhouse that I'll cherish the most, you know, about being here and winning that ring. That's something that I've always thought about, even since I was a little kid, is what it would feel like to win a World Series. And I got traded over to Boston, and that was honestly, you know, it's always been in the forefront of my mind, and it for whatever reason, you think about winning a World Series here, and you almost feel a little differently about it just because it's such a special place. And to be able to accomplish that, it's a lifetime memory and something that, you know, I'll always have and never forget.
Back at this season for you personally, how much of it was you, and how much of it was, you know, the way the game has changed this year? The ball is flying out of the ballpark at a much more consistent rate, to say the least, and you pitch it is. Throw the sinker a lot, and that ball obviously gets taken over the fence on a consistent basis in a year like this. How much of it was that, and how much of it was, you know, you and your view?
No, it's, you know, guys are doing a really good job of driving the ball out of the ballpark, and whether it's the ball or whatever else, you don't take credit from those guys and what they've been able to do offensively. For me as a pitcher, there were not too many pitches that I threw this year that were well-located pitches that got hit hard. It was, you know, really a product of me and not executing baseball on a consistent basis well enough. And there's a lot of good hitters in the league right now, and they capitalize on those mistakes. And, you know, so I'm never a big believer that it's the arrow, it's always the Indian in my mind, and that was how I felt about my season, that it was completely on my shoulders, and I didn't execute pitches well enough to be successful on a consistent basis this year for us.
Finally, for you, you don't look going into the offseason, look at it and say, you know, I need to change how I pitch per se. It's just execution in your view and leaving too many pitches out over the plate the guys drew.
I mean, honestly, you know, I talk about the sinker and stuff, but when I was getting hit around, I wasn't throwing the sinker that much.
Yep.
I was getting beat by the four-seamer and, you know, flat breaking pitches. So for me, it's not about trying to change, because there's not a whole lot I can change too besides getting back to being myself. And that's what I felt like I did these last three starts, and honestly felt really, really good about what I did the last three, and felt like that was, you know, me and how I pitch my game, and that's my only focus. I've had a lot of success doing that, and part of my frustration lies with maybe trying to elevate the baseball too much and mm-hmm. throw the ball at the top of the zone too much and things like that. So, it's really just a matter of getting back to being me, because that's the only thing I've ever done in the league that's had success.
So 5 years in Boston for Rick Porcello, really only a year and a couple months for Steve Pierce, but really just remembered for a couple games, and that is Steve Pierce winning the World Series MVP in 2018. It's been a difficult year for Pierce. He's been battling injuries throughout the entire season. Back injuries continue to persist, and he is thinking about walking away from the game. I talked with Pierce.
Just describe what this year has been like for you. Has this been your most trying year in the big leagues, just trying to get healthy and just having it not happen?
Yeah, very frustrating. You know, you put a lot of work into come out here and be able to compete every day, and especially coming off the year that we had last year, that I'm sure you probably talked to everybody in the clubhouse. Everybody probably expected things to be a little bit different.
For you personally, though, what do you see as being the challenges for you moving forward? And do you feel that the injury is going to be a thing of the past? How are you feeling overall as you look to move forward?
Well, I'm still kind of recovering from my injury, so I'm not even fully healthy yet. But obviously, that's really the goal, of just staying healthy. I really don't care about anything else as far as setting goals. I really wanted to stay healthy, and I'll let the goals take care of themselves.
What was the hardest part of this year? Was it being away from the team, not being able to contribute, the injury part of it, which obviously plays into that? What was the most frustrating point for you?
Oh, man. Probably 2019, man. Everything's a little bit of everything. Just can't get healthy, couldn't find my swing at the beginning of the year. So it's just, it all started just, snowballing. And obviously, magnifies when you're not winning. And so we didn't hit the expectations we wanted to hit. I couldn't get healthy, and I wasn't able to contribute. And that's, it really wasn't one particular thing, but it's just been a frustrating season overall.
Moving forward, how much do you want to stay here, and what do you see as being the likelihood and feasibility of that?
We'll just let, let the chips fall where they may. Mm-hmm. Obviously I would love to stay here. Love it. I love the guys, love the team. But my future's undecided right now, so we'll just leave it at that.
Do you want to keep playing, though, or is the health issues perhaps going to lend a decision for you?
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Right now, I just want to go home and just be with my family.
That's Steve Pierce right there. Great guy, great player, and certainly enjoyed being around him when he's with the Boston Red Sox. Best of luck to him. It looks like he is going to retire in the offseason. Talked to the Red Sox hitting coach Tim Hyers as well about who impressed this year, who needs to work a little bit moving forward. And he, of course, Tim Hyers, really good hitting coach, and we saw a number of players, including Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts, have the best years of their career. This is the Press Box here on KXL, the Pure Baseball segment of the show. Show tonight presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment brought to you by Loudoun Country Club. Here is Red Sox hitting coach Tim Hyers.
Which of these hitters have you enjoyed watching most this year and kind of their maturation as a hitter through the course of the season?
Wow, that is a great question. I think, watching Devers grow, being such a young player, and impacting our team, impacting the league at such an early age. I think that was fun to watch, and watching him start out a little slow and then pick it up, and for 3 months was one of the best hitters in the game. I enjoy Bogey every day, mm-hmm. of how he comes to the field with a passion to play, focus, desire, to do it for the city, for his team, for the organization, and I just know how much he puts into it and how he goes about his business every day, because I know he plays such a demanding spot on the field at shortstop, which is not easy. All the mental things that go on with the defense, positioning, all that, and then also the production he's made as a hitter, it's not easy to do that day after day after day, so he's a guy that that I really have had a lot of fun watching and watching grow and compete this year.
In Boston, we tend to really build expectations around young players. And when Benintendi first came up, there was the expectation that with that swing, perennial all-star, and he's going to, you know, hit 310, 320 on a consistent basis. And he's developed into a really good hitter, but not meeting the expectations. Do you see him being an individual that still has the potential to get there and you expect to get there? Or is he that 285, 290, you know, neighborhood of 20 home runs, 80 RBI guy?
I expect it out of him. I expect that, you know, like what we saw last year. I think it's in there. You know, he got away from his swing a little bit this year, and I think a lot of it was what he was swinging at, but Benintendi has a lot of skill, and with that swing he has, it's a beautiful swing, it's easy. I expect a lot out of him, and I think he's going to get there here in, you know, in the near future.
So you think it's the pitch selection, kind of the mental side of the game with him at times, that he kind of deviates from a plan in regards to that pitch selection?
Yeah, I think he probably tried to do a little more than with his bat than he should have this year. I think he maybe looking for the power a little bit more than he did last year. And I think when he plays the game the right way, uses the whole field, and looks to, you know, just to go out there and compete and battle the pitcher every single day and dominate the strike zone and keep his swing at a low maintenance, I think that's when we'll see the true Benintendi.
JD is such a remarkable hitter to watch, and his ability to keep, you know, the bat in the zone for such an extended period of time. A lot of folks think the longest of anybody in baseball. How does he do that? And, you know, do you try to replicate that with other hitters in keeping the bat in the zone for that extended period of time?
Yeah, I think that's every hitter trying to stay in the zone the longest, because then we can cover more pitches and more speeds. Not every hitter can do that, and it's not in their DNA. I just think JD understands the swing, understands how to get there, and it's a main focus for him.
Yeah.
So it's a priority for him. I think that, you know, like I said, a lot of hitters are trying to do that, and they do it in their own unique way. Mm-hmm. Brock Holt stays in the zone a long time, except his swing doesn't look the same.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that it's a challenge for every hitter. I think they get in it and out of it, you know, in those grooves where sometimes their swing's a lot shorter, and then they lengthen it out and they can cover more pitches. So, but no, I think it's a priority around here. That's a thing that I know I focus on as a hitting coach, and I know this organization does also.
I want to ask you a little about Marco Hernandez, because I've always loved his swing, and there's certain guys where the ball comes off the bat and it's, you just sense that there's something, you know, magical about that swing, and he's always had that. And, you know, yet the injuries have kind of gotten in his way. This year he's performed really well, but there's been, you know, some inconsistency in his playing time. What do you see from him, and what's his potential?
Wow, you're right, the ball comes off his bat hot. I mean, he's so strong and so quick, and that's a great combination to have as a hitter. But he goes back to, he's got to continue to, number one, battle the strike zone, because I think he expands a little bit, and he's more a swing-first type guy, so we got to keep working on his game plan, his pitch selection, and his plate discipline. That's number one. And number two, with that quickness and with that swing he has, it is in and out a little bit. He's a little bit rotational, and I know we've been trying to just create that length and keep him in the zone a little bit longer, and I think if he works on those two things and keeps working that, he's going to be a special player.
When you are, you know, breaking down the swings of various guys on this team, you look at Hernandez, the speed that he has, which is an underrated aspect of his game too. Obviously, Mookie's speed. Do you play to the strengths of the individual in terms of their speed and ability to break out, to beat out hits? Or is it you just want to drive the baseball each time and you want to swing where you can consistently make good contact and launch it?
Yeah, not so much maybe their speed. I think it's trying to create a repeatable swing, and they want to hit the ball hard consistently. And I think, you know, if some of them are going to hit the ball at a ballpark a little more, some are going to be a little bit less. But I think we're trying to hit the ball on a line and hitting the ball hard. So then if they're hitting the ball hard, then it does put pressure on the defense, and then that's when you see the speed benefit them, the ones who can run. But also, you know, guys that, like a Marco that has a lot of speed, And if he keeps the ball in the air a little bit less and a little bit more on a line and even on the ground, it will benefit him. So we don't need Marco Chun to, you know, hit a fly ball every at bat. We need him. If he does keep it level and he does keep it a little bit, hitting it hard on the ground, it will benefit him. The guys who can really run, like Marco, is extremely fast, and it's fun to watch him play. But I don't think it's anything we focus on. We're more of trying to get a strike to hit, swinging at their pitch and hitting it hard more often, and that's something we work to do.
Following on Vasquez, who has done a tremendous job this year of minimizing his stretches where he is not getting hits and in the slumps. I think that's been one of the biggest keys for him this year. Do you see this as being repeatable for him moving forward too, in regards to the average and the power? Has he found, you know, a new aspect of his game, or is this a career year?
No, I think he's. I think what you're seeing is something he can take forward to next year and the years after, because we've seen that consistency this year.
Right.
There's just been some real small slumps, and I think he understands the swing now and understands what he's capable of doing in the box. And I see no reason he can't move forward doing the same thing.
Thanks.
You too.
Yep. Have a good night.
That is Tim Hyers. This has been the Press Box tonight here on KXL, presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Loudoun Country Club. Thanks so much for your time. It was a lot of fun, despite it being a not great year for the Boston Red Sox, to be around this group once again. A very special group of individuals. Thanks to the Red Sox for all their help and support in providing interviews here for this show, as well as New Hampshire Now and The Life with Matt Bonner. I am Chris Ryan. You've been listening to The Press Pass here on KXL, and we'll catch up with you again next week. For past episodes of the show, I encourage you to go to our website, nhtalkradio.com.